Episode 270, November 14th, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the Racist Rob and Racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Yo, welcome to the Rob and Joe Show. No Rob Robinson this week. Do we know what Robbie's doing? I feel like we're bad friends and you're a bad brother because he told us and I have no idea why he's not with us.
I don't know what he's doing, but he did send me a text today saying that he had pneumonia.
He said he had food poisoning.
Sorry. I confused pneumonia and food poisoning.
He didn't know he was going to have that 2 weeks ago when he said he couldn't be on the show this week. Is he just busy? No.
He did say he was super busy, and then I heard the food poisoning thing. I'm sure that's going to set him back. He's going to be even more cranky and even more busy the next time we need him.
You know, knock on wood, I've never had food poisoning.
I mean, I'm sure you've thrown up before, right?
Well, yeah, but that's not necessarily, that's usually due to alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, well, isn't that food?
No, it's not. It's alcohol. Are you really asking me? Is it the same thing? No.
I mean, alcohol is food. I don't know if you know that. Anything you ingest is food.
No, the food poisoning, really? Anything you ingest is food?
Well, anything you ingest is as in a meal, yes, clearly.
Why do they say food and drink? Why don't they just say food if drink isn't, it means the same?
Drink isn't food?
No, I think it's drink. Food, really? This is a debate we're having off the top.
I don't know. What is food? I'm not, like, this isn't important to me. Like, I'm not digging in on this one. Let me just say that.
Everyone else is debating the election, and we're debating what food is.
Well, according to my nutrition pyramid, my Smithwick, which I am enjoying right now, is definitely on that pyramid. So I call it a food.
But when people say they got food poisoning, they're implying that they ate something that gave them, you know, some sort of sickness, correct?
You don't eat alcohol?
No, you son. Would you? Shit. Hey, you guys wanted to eat a bunch of shots?
Well, yeah, no, but you still are eating them.
No, I'm not. I'm drinking it. You've never referred to eating when you're drinking. You've always said.
Well, no, I understand that, but anything that you ingest is something you eat, right?
It's something that you.
Now you understand. Like, I'll give you an example. You know that a square is a rectangle, but a rectangle isn't necessarily a square, right? You understand that?
Yes.
So, yes, you drink water, but you also eat it.
Okay.
But you don't drink a sandwich.
But that's not how people speak, though.
Oh, no, I know. I was just saying, you can get food poisoning from a drink. What if you drink a shake that's bad, that's with
No, I'm saying you can get that, but generally the reason you throw up from alcohol is not because the alcohol was bad. It's because you drank too much.
Right, if
with the food, the implication is that the food was bad. There was something wrong with it. It was tainted.
The chicken wasn't
cooked all the way.
If I may, can I put this scenario out there? Because honestly, Rob, I'm with you in this camp, and so Joe, I think you're full of it. But let me put this scenario out there. if I eat a Jell-O shot and I get sick, is that then called food poisoning?
Ooh, see, that's deep. Now, I like where you went there, Marcus. That was good. I would then, I mean, again, I think it's alcohol. The alcohol is what's doing it. It's not the Jell-O. It's the alcohol inside the Jell-O. But to back to my original point, I don't think I've ate something. Maybe it didn't. It might have not agreed with me in terms of I didn't like it. But I don't think I had diarrhea or something. But I don't think I've been throwing up and sick for days because of some fish I had at some restaurant.
All right. Well, I can't really argue with that.
But has that happened to you?
I don't remember a time where I'm sure I've eaten things that haven't agreed with me. Sure. I mean, it's had to have happened. I can't think of a specific instance.
But nothing that's gone on for 3 days.
Drinking, I've definitely done that. Eating when I eat beers, that definitely makes me throw.
Eat, drink, and be merry. It's just eat and be merry in the Robinson household. Well, we're coming to you. It's our first show since the election. It's funny because last week we didn't even really talk about the election. It was happening the very next day. We didn't talk about it. I suppose if we thought Trump could win or that it was going to be close, at least maybe we would have talked about it. But I mean, I didn't think it was going to be a landslide. But
well, remember when we
I didn't think he'd win easily, which is basically what happened.
Well, nobody thought that because everybody was telling you otherwise.
Right.
Every poll, I think Vegas had it at like 4%. I mean, it was just, nobody thought it could happen. Obviously, if we thought it could happen, we would have talked about it. Because remember, Marcus, he said he'd rather kill himself than put Trump's face on his Facebook page. I mean, this matters to Marcus more than anybody. Yeah. I mean, let's hear what you have to say, Marcus. You got to be. I mean, this has got to be one of the most upsetting things ever to happen to you.
Oh, it absolutely is. And it's been a week worth of hell so far. And don't even take into account the fact that the news and what potentially may come and all the crap that he said. The fact that we're in this particular scenario, I've had conversations with clients of mine who are speculating about how we're going to survive the next 4 years because of how his potential policies will impact their businesses negatively.
Give me an example of what you mean. What are you guys expecting to happen that's gonna hurt these businesses?
So I work.
What industry are these businesses in?
So I work with one particular client that is in the renewable energy business. They're a utility company, but they have been making the transfer from fossil fuels into renewables, and they're now at about 90-95%. So they've been making a huge transfer of their business.
Got it. Yeah, that guy's screwed.
Exactly. So the conversation about marketing themselves and pushing these products for energy savings and to push renewables and the use of renewables, get people off propane and oil and things
got
that
it.
A
got
lot
it.
Of
yeah. You're, yeah, got it.
It's hurt.
No, you're right.
It's
you're
hurtful.
Right. I was wondering what you were going to say so I could thwart it, but you're right. That guy's he's in trouble.
Yeah, that guy's fucked.
Yeah.
Well, what about you? How are you affected?
I'm a white male. I'm totally fine.
Okay. So what is that think?
But here's but let me say this. The person who's probably most upset in my household right now is my wife.
Oh, I'm sure.
And primarily because and it's not just because he's a Republican, it's because of the S that he said and the sexist misogynistic things that he has said and done that she is concerned about women's issues, women's health issues. How women are going to be treated. We've already heard news reports concerning attacks on minorities. So she's concerned about, those particular groups as well. So, yeah, she has significant concern about how how society is going to survive a Trump presidency.
Do you remember Joe the Plumber? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yes.
I hated that. And I always hate that. And that's where you want to talk. You want to make an example of how your policy is going to affect somebody or how somebody else's policy is going to affect somebody. And you take one instance and you use that as the barometer. I'm even seeing on Facebook where Trump supporters are being pulled out of their cars because they think they voted for Trump and they're being beaten to death. And now protesters are being hit by cars. What's that?
Well, not to death. But
right. But you see, none of that matters to me. because it's all hyperbole. You can't use that. I mean, I want to know the truth. Do you really believe that women are going to be viewed differently in general? Because they, remember, they already, the people that voted him in, they already let you know they don't have a problem, or at least they didn't have enough of a problem not to vote for him. How is this going to change? You think that now, because he's the president, they think that it's okay for them to be more vocal with these feelings that they used to closet? I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just wondering if you believe that to be the case.
I don't believe that that is 100% true, but I believe that that is where the fear comes from.
Okay. No, I got it. So those are where they're concerned. I think here's why I think that he became the president of the United States. Okay. I did not vote for him. As a matter of fact, I did not vote. So I clearly don't have a right to be upset with whoever was elected or be upset about whoever lost. As a matter of fact, we were discussing the election with five people in my house. That was Todd Leatherberry, Todd Leatherberry, who's a privileged white male, yes. James Paler, who is a young black man, Katie Push, who is a female, myself, a middle-class white male, and my son, who is a student and a white male. And of those five, only one person had voted. So we really probably shouldn't have been discussing it at all. But the point is that I'm going
to. And that was your son. It was his first chance.
Of course, right. He's not going to pass up on his first election, as shitty as it was. But I'm going to tell you why Donald Trump is the president of the United States. Because let's say, for example, you have a concern with, Syrians coming into this country because maybe ISIS has already made it public that that's how they plan to infiltrate this country. So what happens is you say, well, man, that is a concern. Let's talk about it. But the guy who's, I guess, championing your cause is saying, don't let any Muslims in. So what happens is say, well, that's a bigoted statement. But then when you say, well, yeah, but there are legitimate concerns, then they call you a bigot. Then people tell you to go fuck yourself. That's the reason he's the president, because really what happened is, and people were calling people xenophobes and they were calling people bigots, and people don't like to be called that. What they do want to do is say, well, okay, I understand that people, that you don't want to say that Mexicans are rapists and Mexicans are thieves and criminals. However, do we believe that the immigration policies within this country should be enforced? Do we believe that we shouldn't allow so many illegals in here? That is a legitimate conversation to be had. But what happens is when somebody brings it up, they're called a bigot. And that's when the conversation stops. And I'm telling you right now, the left elected this president. They did. And they did it through hyperbole, because nobody was allowed to voice a concern if it didn't agree with yours. Because instead of you saying, wow, I feel differently, people called you a bigot. And people don't like being called a bigot. Maybe you don't remember the Jen Tisdale conversation when I cast this murder mystery with people that were friends of mine and I was called a sexist. Well, I told her to go fuck herself. I did not want a dialogue with her because she didn't want a dialogue with me. And that's the reason Donald Trump is the president of the United States.
Well, there is something to, and I think I've told this story before. I'm in a bar. I'm watching. It's the Giants versus the 49ers. It was the NFC title game. Whenever the last time the Giants won the Super Bowl and they beat New England, like whatever it was, 6 years ago. And I don't like either team, but there's a guy rooting for the 49ers and he's such a dick and such a douchebag and yes. So obnoxious that now I'm rooting as hard as I root for anything for the Giants. So that took a situation where I was basically indifferent, didn't like either side, and this guy was such a dick. Now I wanted the other side to win. So I do feel like if you're going to be a dick, and you, by the way, you can be on the right side of an issue, but it doesn't mean it still doesn't allow you to be a dick. Then that makes people, they're like, I don't know, you know what? Well, that dick's on that side, so fuck him or her. I'm going to go on that side. And I do feel like that, in the combination of a lot of people staying home and not voting for Hillary for whether or not being that excited or thinking that she had it in the bag, led to what happened. And, you know, you go on Facebook and it's like,
it's continuing.
Yeah. I mean, I saw someone say, if you voted for a third party, you deserve to die. Well, you know, you get 10, 15 years for rape. I voted for Gary Johnson. I should die. How should I die? Electric chair?
Well, you know,
should I have my head cut off?
Yeah. If I had voted, I would have voted for Gary Johnson. Now, I'm a registered Republican, and I voted for Republican every single – well, that's not true. The first election I ever voted for, I voted for Michael Dukakis because, you know, I was an idealist or whatever. And my second election, I voted for Ross Perot, and then eventually I started voting for Republicans, and I have. until this election when I was going to vote for Gary Johnson. My ex-wife, who's a very conservative, voted for Gary Johnson. My son voted for Gary Johnson. These are votes that would have gone to Trump. They would have gone to the Republican Party. I was reading today on Facebook. Hey, I don't know if you call him friend of the show, but clearly mentioned a million times on the show, Mike Finazzo posts on Facebook, I'd like to know if anybody out there thinks that climate change isn't real. And I read that and I'm like, this is exactly what I'm talking about. These guys want to belittle those who don't think like-mindedly. And I said to him, I go, guys, this is exactly what elected this president, was going to elect him again in 2020. He's going to make you guys stand out in the street because you can't keep telling people that they're idiots. You can't. You can have a conversation with them. But if when you mock people, they get pissed. And that's what happened. And that's the reason Donald Trump is the president of the United States. People don't want to be told they're morons. They don't, even if they are. That make sense?
Yeah, and you're right. And look, do you want to feel good and may pat yourself on the back and make yourself feel better by calling someone a moron who is a moron, or do you want to try to make them no longer be a moron? And I feel like, look, if you're not rooting for Trump to succeed, you're an idiot, just like you would have been for Obama or if Hillary won. I mean, whatever makes the world we live in a better place is what you should want to have happen. So if he suddenly makes all these great decisions, that's good for our best interests of ourselves and our lives. But I think there are people out there that would rather see, Mexicans get deported and their families ripped apart and the country go to shit so they could be right in some fucking Facebook argument with someone they hardly know.
No, and you're right. And I don't know that I am not built the same way, but I know it's wrong, right? Because there are some people on Facebook that I was so happy to see their misery, right? And I would even made a joke beforehand, like I would let this country go to shit just to watch this person melt down. But so I understand a little bit of it. Clearly, that's not the way that we need to look at the world. But I just, Marcus is going to know more about this because he's got his finger on the pulse of this stuff. But I just heard that, I guess, his top I just read, he's a friend of ours, Jimmy Merritt, said that Trump, I guess, he nominated his top advisor and that he's a white supremacist. And, I'm sitting here thinking, that can't be true, right? He couldn't have just nominated a white supremacist. Now, I guarantee you there's going to be an argument made to where this guy's a white supremacist. But again, we start calling people that, you better be fucking sure, because that's the kind of stuff that is going to get this guy elected again in 2020. People are getting infuriated at the idea that you're calling. It's funny. Everybody's like, oh, the KKK supported Trump. Well, no shit. There's 5,000 people in the KKK. 5,000. They don't mean jack shit. There are as many Siamese twins as there are Klansmen. But, they want to label these people and, as bigots, and people will not, they are going to rebel against that. And by the way, they did, to the tune of making Donald fucking Trump the president of the United States. I mean, I want Marcus to speak because I'm, we're filibustering.
No, you don't. Look, here's Joe. I'll just say this. The blatant claim that he just put a bigot into his team, his transition team, and as one of his chief advisors is not necessarily far off the truth. And here's why. The advisor that we're talking about is a guy by the last name of Bannon, if I remember correctly. But anyway, he runs a website called Breitbart. And if you go look at the articles that he has put up there and that he has edited and worked on and promoted on his site, Breitbart, which he owns, you would see that they lean toward a group that they call the alt-right, which has significant racist overtones. The articles themselves, headlines against Jews, headlines against minorities, it's obvious. It's not hidden in the subtext. It is blatant racism in their news on their website. So, I don't know the individual, but the site that he owns and the site that he procures obviously continues to generate racist news for a group that's larger than the KKK. There might be 5,000 card-carrying members because they feel safe about it. But racism still exists throughout our country.
Of course. Yeah.
So,
Course. Nobody's arguing that.
Yeah. So that being said, you don't have to be a card-carrying member. You just have to have those particular feelings. And I think that that propensity still sits there. And when you put a man in office, you know, when Donald Trump is elected, and then he chooses, well, one of my chief advisors is going to be a guy who has been running a website that runs these racist news articles week after week after week, you have to question, where are we leaning? What type of policies is he going to put forth? Because he's not going to be empathetic to those families. And you're right. I am one who also, I believe that laws should be enforced. We should do a better job of controlling our borders, things of that nature. But you also have to deal with the problem that we have in hand. We have millions of illegals in the country. How do we deal with that problem? How do we do it humanely? How do we deal with the refugee situation? All those kinds of things have to be dealt with in a humane space. And all through the election process, that caused me fear and problems is the fact that they used fear to argue their point. That we can't help these Syrian families that are being bombed out of their homes.
I understand what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with them at all. But this idea that I just heard about how hateful the election that Trump ran was. I literally watched two commercials back to back, one where Donald Trump was called a pedophile. And then the other one was where there was a guy who was responsible for launching the bombs and how terrified he was. Like, there's one guy with his finger on the button waiting for the phone to ring. So, I mean, it happened on
both
sides.
There's also people implying that racism or that slavery is going to come back.
Yes, that's true.
The fear mongering is out of control.
It's happening on both sides. And of course, you know, do you think I want Donald Trump to be the president of the United States? I'm just telling you how it happened. And it is continuing. The same thing. You know, these entitled, no matter how you feel about how the election is, you do have to understand the resentment that's going to be built when there was a fair election, something that people died in order to allow. And now there are people who didn't like what happened. They didn't like the choice. And now they're out in the street protesting. Protesting what? I'm telling you right now, as somebody who didn't want either of these turds to be the president, that all they or you are doing, you meaning the left, is driving a further divide between you and the right. If we really want to come together, you know, again, there's been moderates that have run. This is the first time a radical has ever won the presidency, in my opinion, in my lifetime. I don't ever remember that. Ronald Reagan wasn't anywhere near this type of person. Of course, it was a different climate at that time. But I remember saying that if somebody said exactly what they thought, they couldn't be elected. That's the reason everybody was vanilla. Well, guess what? I was fucking dead wrong. Dead wrong, because every single thing that came out of Donald Trump's mouth was hyperbole, but it resonated with people. And it's funny because I remember thinking, man, the Republicans, they got to get their shit together. But I was so wrong. The Democrats need to get their shit together. They need to. You know what the Democrats did? And I guess we need to take a break. 8 years ago, they had Hillary Clinton as a candidate and they looked at each other and goes, what the fuck are we doing? This woman is not electable, right? There is no way she's electable. So they took a guy who didn't even have an entire term as a congressman. Senator. And they decided to make him the president of the United States because of charisma. I'm not saying he was a bad president. I'm not saying that. But you do understand that if we were just talking about experience, it is night and day between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. But they got it. They go, look, we need electability. And sure enough, they brought this guy in and two terms. This guy was elected to the presidency of the United States. Now, you might think he was a great president. I have no idea. It's not even the point. The point is that the reason that he beat Hillary Clinton in the presidency is why? Because he was a good-looking, cool guy. That's the reason.
Yes, he has.
That's the reason. If you think for 2 seconds it's because something that he said resonated with them in terms of policy, you're out of your fucking mind. This old criminal who everybody's been looking at for the past 20 years is not who they wanted to be the president of the United States. They got it. And then you know what? They forgot. And they were just part of the machine. So they bring this same lady back in that everybody despised 8 years ago. And they said, you know what? Let's make this lady the president. But when they did, they still could have done it. They still could have pulled it off. But what they did was they said to every single person that wasn't like-minded, they called them the worst names that they could. You know, it means something to call somebody a bigot. And when people say that, and I said that when it happened to me, and when Jen Tisdale called me a sexist because I put Tommy Simbazo in my murder mystery, right? When you call somebody a bigot, you better be fucking sure about that. If not, you're going to piss them off. And that's exactly what happened. And that's the reason Donald Trump is the president. And I'll say it again, nothing has changed. You look at Facebook, it is the exact same all over the country. People are in the streets. Yeah. People are calling people bigots. People are calling people xenophobes. People are calling people morons. Well, okay, keep it up. Keep it up. You will have this guy as your president in 2020 if that's the attitude.
I don't think we will, because he won't want to run again, but you'll have someone like that. And people want to protest. That's fine. But, I mean, you know when the time was to tell everybody how horrible Donald Trump was? During this six-month campaign, since we knew he was going to be the nominee. It's like there was a time for that. And that's when you needed to go out and knock on doors and mobilize and make sure he didn't get elected. Because if you didn't do that and now you're protesting, I mean, just out of not looking like an idiot, I wouldn't do it. Because you didn't do all you could. So, I mean, everyone hated Trump. And if you're someone that hates, that thinks the Democrats and the Republicans are both the same side of two different sides of a bad coin, whatever the saying is, then that's why you like Trump, because the Republicans didn't like him and the Democrats hated him. So that's our guy. And that's why I voted for Gary Johnson, not because I don't know anything about Gary Johnson, but he's a third party. And it was my vote against the two party system and against this picking sides. And every issue I go with that side, no matter what. And I'm just a fucking robot for this side. And it's counterproductive. It's a waste of time. And now we have a guy who who knows if he knows what he's doing. I mean, it's.
Well, I don't want to talk about this too much longer. But now I'm reading that the transition team doesn't know what they're doing. It's just like whatever they can say to, again, drive this incompetence thing home. Right. You know, Donald Trump, you know, he's has $1 billion. Let's not act like he doesn't know how to manage things.
He's not an idiot.
I mean, this is ridiculous. The idea that he's a moron. Now, he might have different political views than you, and he might even be a bigot. You understand? He might even be a bigot. He might even be a misogynist.
He's also probably our first pro-choice Republican, and who knows how.
No, I just read again. I read that too. That's also a problem now. But whatever. I mean, listen, I'm talking to my friends on the left. Get your fucking shit together. Get it together. You know, you need to talk to people and not demean them. Don't look entitled. You know, you can't look down your nose at people. They will not respond. They never have. Who has?
No one. Robin Josh, I'll be right back.
Hi, this is Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show, and I'm here to tell you about the most hysterical, amazing, and festive show I've ever had the privilege to be a part of. It's called A Merry Murder Mystery, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the guys who brought you The Newly Dead Game and Sing for Your Life. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. There's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, December 3rd at the Bright Box Theater in Winchester. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Robin Joe Show.
Have we ever gone that long just having a conversation about... I mean, it is the biggest thing that's happened in forever, so it's not like... I mean, we sort of have to talk about it.
Robbie's going to hate it because it was so unfunny.
It was right off the top, too.
Yeah, but... We're not a political show.
Yeah, we're not.
But
that wasn't really about politics. It really wasn't about politics.
It really wasn't.
It's really about diplomacy. How are you going to talk to people, right?
Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about, although this is sort of, we'll piggyback it. SNL had what was setting up to be the perfect post-election lineup. You have Dave Chappelle making his return, you know, one of the best comics of all time. And... you know, the thing that SNL, I'm not much of a watcher, but they pretty much always, I have thought, have done politics really well. It's the go-to, you know, parodies of presidents, of issues.
Oh, ever since its inception with Gerald Ford falling down the stairs, you know. Yeah, they've been phenomenal.
That's what they do. So, you know, you have the cold open before the monologue, and that's I mean, if you've had a week of all this drama, whenever what side you're on, it's been stressful, and you want some levity and you want some humor, and you got Kate McKinnon out there, who I love, who's dressed as Hillary and who's playing Hallelujah. Leonard Cohen just died. And I love that song. And I'm like, oh, wow, she plays piano and sings. I mean, she's like, what can't she do? And you keep waiting. Is there a joke? Are they going to change the lyrics? And it's just a straight performance of the song. They're like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, look, clearly they think that this is some sort of, something to be not to be joked about, right? I mean, at this point, right? I mean, that what we saw? We saw, listen, we're letting you know that this is not funny to us. Is that what, was that the message?
I guess, but she could have done exactly what she did and then at the end said, how the F did I lose to that guy? And then live from New York on Saturday night. And then it would have got a laugh and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But I thought, I mean, they could have had her in like a locker room, like she's an athlete with a towel around her after the game getting interviewed, what happened out there.
No, there's a million things they could have done. Yeah, yeah. There's a million things they could have done that were funny. Again, I mean, here's the thing. Remember, I have been laughing at Alec Baldwin doing Donald Trump for the last, you know, I don't know, however long he's been doing it. It's been phenomenal. They do the debate. They're making fun of this guy. South Park's been making fun of Trump about how hilarious he is. It is funny. South Park really nailed it, too, because they were basically saying, you know, Trump is throwing this election.
Yeah.
He's throwing the election and she won't allow it. She won't take it. And anyway, I guess it was pretty you know, they weren't spending a lot of time kind of dismissing him as a candidate, right? Which ended up being correct. But at least they were trying to be funny about it the whole time. But yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that. Be funny, right? I mean, look, the world's going to keep turning, unfortunately, for those who think otherwise, it will.
Marcus, what did you think of the Open?
I thought the Open, at first I was a little confused by it because it was somber. I understand why she did that particular song. But then when I heard Dave Chappelle do his opening, which was funny, but also very serious, I think it all kind of tied together. And again, that moment of they're really trying to share that message of we need to come together. We need to unify and just say, absolutely. Look, this is the election is done. Did it come out the way we thought? No. But you know what? We need to just come together and make the best of it.
I love what that little 2 minute at the end of Chappelle's monologue, but he also did something that you need to do in a comedy show is he threw in the Bradley Cooper reference about there being all black people except for Bradley Cooper. He threw that in twice and it got laughs and it broke it up just enough so that he could make his point, get a couple laughs and then end on this high note of this coming together. I thought that it was excellent. And all the Hallelujah needed was a couple of the Bradley Cooper little laughs in there and it would have worked, but instead it just seemed weird to me.
Think about the two greatest comedians of all time, at least they're considered George Carlin and Richard Pryor. I mean, these guys were highly political.
Yeah.
They both had something to say. I don't ever remember them just preaching to us. I always remember laughing at whatever it was that they had to say, even when it didn't really bend towards my ideologies.
Yeah, but Carlin, toward the end of his tenure, was angry Carlin. Can you imagine what he would have said? And he would have been funny, but can you imagine what it would have come out of Carlin's mouth in an election like this?
Well, if he was still alive, this would have killed him, yeah.
Yeah. I was at Magoobie's Joke House all weekend with Tiffany Haddish and the stuttering Donnie Singstack as the MC. And it's interesting, because he sort of had to talk about the election. And I tweeted this, not because I believe it, because I just wanted retweets and I thought it was clever. But, you know, it's been a tough year for deaths. You know, we've had David Bowie, Prince, Muhammad Ali in America. And so, I mean, I don't think we're dead, but I want retweets. And so I decided I'd throw that out there at Magoobie's, which generally Baltimore, it's... I mean, Maryland is liberal, but I feel like the Timonium. I feel like you can get it's more
the 98 rock crowd.
Yeah, it's gonna be more Trump, but the headliner is black, so it's gonna be more black people. And the line, it did okay. It never got a big laugh because I think people didn't know if they were allowed to laugh at it. Now I did get big laughs talking about how we now have two straight first ladies that we'd have sex with, and I think that's a good.
No, that is good.
Yeah, and I had my little
rant. You know who doesn't like that joke? Marcus's wife.
So
Marcus didn't laugh. Yeah. Go ahead.
Our buddy Scott Bergson showed up. We actually saw him twice. We saw him, or I saw him Thursday. He came out to my comedy show, and then he came out to the murder mystery on Sunday at McGoobies. And I really will get to the murder mystery in a second, but I thought this is Scott really got to see the full Rob Mayer and Die Laughing Productions our arsenal, if you will. Because I mean he's seen me do stand up like when there's a crowd. Well, there's 14 people there Thursday night. The Ravens were playing. I mean it was dead.
Oh, is that when he saw you?
Yeah, but I did all crowd work. You know that's I'm good at that. Yeah, so he saw me just crushing with that, and then we'll get to the murder mystery and he saw how well that went. But Donnie Singstack is he's 21. He's it looks like he's like 16. So it's already funny that he's going to talk about the election because, dude, you look like you're delivering papers. And he stutters. But this is the thing. He doesn't really stutter anymore when he tells his stand-up. He's outgrowing it. He's getting past it. So that's bad in the sense that he has some really good jokes about stuttering. But then the problem lies when he tells the announcements, he starts stuttering. So he does 10 minutes of comedy.
Where he's now taking out the stuttering because it doesn't make any sense because he doesn't stutter. Got it.
So he doesn't mention that he stutters. Why would you? And then he starts doing the announcements and now he's stuttering. And people are like, is he nervous? Because talk about the 2-drink minimum. What's he nervous about? And so he needs to find this sweet spot where he stutters enough so that he can tell the stuttering jokes, but doesn't stutter so much that you're like, you feel bad for him up there.
Can he fake stutter?
Well, that's what me and Andrew were talking about. I said, you should fake it a little bit. He goes, no, you don't want to do that. I mean, I'm like, people still talk about their wife or their husband when they're divorced or a relationship. But people lie in comedy all the time. As long as the joke was based on some truth.
Well, yeah, he does stutter. I mean, he did grow up stuttering. It's not like I'm saying I stutter.
Exactly. So I believe that he can. I think that he can fake stutter a little bit. But then the other thing is, I mean, are you afraid? Because I would be afraid if I started fake stuttering. The stutter would be like, oh, yeah, you think I'm done? I'm back bigger than ever, motherfucker. And then you start stuttering a lot when you can't help it. You don't want that.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't think that that's a legitimate concern. Maybe it is, but it doesn't feel like that's legitimate to me.
You're mocking the stutter.
Well, you can't mock something that you have. You understand? I mean, you know, he does stutter. So it's not like he's having fun at stutterer's expense or, you know.
Okay, but isn't the stuttering part of it mental? Isn't it there's some mental thing in there maybe?
Well, it's got to be if he can speak clearly at times, it has to be mental.
Right. But so I wouldn't want to mess with the mind by faking it.
I mean, how could I defend or argue it? I mean, he's going to know more about that than I would. I wouldn't know, but he would. I mean, it's his affliction. But one thing we were talking about, because you had mentioned this to me when I was at your house on Sunday, and I thought that what a horrible thing that he was losing his stutter. Because if he loses his stutter, he's just some white guy who, you know what I mean? There's a billion of Donnie Singstacks if he's not stuttering.
You mean
stuttering
for comedy?
Is the difference maker. Yes, of course. Look, I like Donnie. Donnie's funny, but I've seen a million people as funny as Donnie. But Donnie's has something that a lot of other people don't have, and that's that he stutters.
I think Donnie's funnier than you think he is. He's all,
especially
considering someone his age. He's very young.
No, but when you're funnier than I think he is, I think he's really funny.
Okay, but I mean, if you're really funny at age 21, that's good.
No, I agree with that. And I'm not saying that Donnie couldn't make it just on his material. He probably could. But what I am saying is that if Donnie's on a show with the 10 funniest comics in this area, he's not going to distinguish himself. Except for that he stutters.
Right. So you're saying it's better for... Well, I thought you were saying it's just better for him in general. But you're saying it's just better for his entire life? Well, I'm thinking it's better if he stops stuttering.
No. It's clearly better for his career. But you know who can answer this is Donnie. I mean, Donnie would know. I mean, Donnie would know. Well, no, I don't know how many doors have been closed because Donnie stutters, because I would figure most of these doors would be open because he stutters. I'll bet you stuttering is open more. Now, granted, you don't want to be in middle school stuttering. I get that.
Right.
Maybe well, not even in high school, but you clearly, once you're out of high school, what do you think people are at work are going to be on? No, they're fine with it. It's a, then you get to know this guy, and he's a, you think it's ever cost him a job?
I bet
he was an intern at 98 Rock.
No, I bet it's cost him a girl.
That's true. I mean, let me ask you this, because it's clearly it's easier to get a girl if you are a headlining comic that stutters than it is if you're just Donnie Sengstack that doesn't stutter. So if your career is enhanced by the stutter, that's still, it's still easier. You're more of a, you're more appealing to chicks in that regard than you are if you're just walking around in a bar. I'm not saying Donnie Sengstack isn't adorable, but I'm sure he's not just out there just slaying it, right?
Well, he brought a girl to the Thursday night show. Big mistake, because there's no one there. And that's right. Not where you want her to see her perform there. But so you're saying that a stuttering, headlining Donnie Sengstack does better with women than just a MC never stutters again Donnie Sengstack?
I mean, I don't even think it's a matter of opinion. I mean, I'm very confident in that.
I'm not sure what the problem is here, because we're talking about a guy who used to stutter. He's given up stuttering. So it sounds like there's an opportunity for stuttering in the comedy scene in your area. Rob, you could pick up the mantle.
You want to fill the stuttering void?
Yeah.
Yeah. I could just steal his jokes.
Could take you to the next level.
Do you think if he's never stutters again, I mean, I would find a stuttering comedian. I would sell him my stuttering jokes.
Yeah. I mean, what are they worth?
I don't know.
Because my thing is that if you are good enough that you can take Donnie Sengstack's stuttering jokes, his 10 minutes of material, and that can put you on the map, I feel like you'd already be funny enough to make it anyway.
True.
Well, what do you think?
What do you think Donnie would say? Two hypotheticals. He continues stuttering not at whenever it was at its worst, but whenever he stutters as much as he stutters when he started comedy. But that leads him to be a room headliner. Or he never stutters again, but he doesn't make it in comedy to that level. What do you think he would choose?
Oh, I think he keeps the stutter.
I mean, I'm sure he's used to it by now, but I got to think you'd like to not stutter.
Let me ask you a question right now. Would you take Donnie Sengstack's stutter to be an A-room headliner?
Well, no, because I feel like I'm on the cusp of that already.
So. All right. I got
10 years ago, maybe. But.
Yeah. All right. That's a bad example.
HBO special will be different.
Okay. Would you take it? Well, you know, I got what you're saying. Okay. So you can either your current career trajectory or you get Donnie's stutter, you get HBO special, Tonight Show appearance.
Well, Tonight Show doesn't mean anything, but the, not anymore.
It doesn't?
No.
Jimmy Fallon, it doesn't mean anything?
I mean, not what it used to. It's not like it's Carson.
I think it does. Not Carson, but yeah, I think it means something.
I put it this way. If I was on the Tonight Show tomorrow, nothing huge would happen the next day. I mean, it's possible, but it's not like I go suddenly, I skyrocket. No, I don't want to stutter. I mean, what do I have going for me? I mean, I speak, I say funny things. If you're hurting that, I don't know. It's like I'm a quarterback and now I got to learn to play you know, I have a really great arm and now I got to learn another position. I don't know.
Do you think that Colin Kaepernick would agree to have a stutter to have, you know, a third year Peyton Manning skill set?
Yes. Yeah. You could easily tangibly see how much that's worth. That's worth $25 million a year.
Right. And endorsements, although you wouldn't probably get them
if you're stuttering. Now, Marcus, yeah. have you had post-election sex yet with the wife, or is she still upset?
Actually, I have not, now that you mention it.
Of course not. She's never, she's probably not going to be able to have sex until 2020.
It was asked for yesterday, but then sleepy time came.
And
sleepy time came and there was a big no.
Let's say you and your wife, you're having a little kinky sex action. She's blindfolded.
That's every day.
You're going after it. You're doing your thing. And then she takes the blindfold off, and you're wearing a Make America Great Again hat. Does she stop? Does she yell at you? What happens?
Lorena Bobbitt.
She wouldn't even think it was funny for you to have a Make America Great Again hat.
Oh, no, no. I'd be kicked out of the room. I guarantee that she would not find that funny once one bit.
Okay, let's rank the worst things you could have written on your hat. All Lives Matter. Make America Great Again.
Nah.
The N-word spelled out.
Once you go white, you'll still be tight.
Yeah, once you go white, you'll still be tight. The C-word spelled out. And Restivo.
He's not even going to remember all this.
Yeah. Only because she doesn't know who the hell he is, just like the rest of the world. Restivo comes to the bottom of the list.
Sure.
The N-word is number one. Or what's number one, the C-word or the N-word?
I mean, the N-word's got to be worse.
It's not number one. C-word actually would come more toward the bottom.
Okay.
N-word would come closer to the top, but right now, due to her sensitivity, make America Great Again would probably be number one. But typically,
N-word.
But it really, it's a really thin line between it and Once You Go White.
Wait a minute, hold on. So you think Make America Great Again is number one, followed by either the N-word or Once You Go White, which, by the way, you own a piece of clothing that says that, that says the thing that's worse than saying the N-word. You have it.
Which I have not worn yet.
Clearly, you probably not even in the house anymore.
No, it's in the very back of my closet. I occasionally check just to make sure she hasn't thrown it out.
So you're going out to eat.
Yeah.
And you say, honey, I'm wearing one of these two hats. You can't talk me out of it. Which one do you want me to wear? And one says the N-word, and the other says, once you go white, you'll still be tight. She's going to tell you to wear the N-word hat.
I will not go out with you with that once you go white hat on.
We're going Outback. We can't be seen like that.
I think either way, she makes me wear it as a rally cap.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny.
So would she be more offended if someone yelled to a black person, Make America great again, or if they yelled the N-word to them angrily, both?
Oh, definitely the N-word.
Oh. Okay. All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, at least she's not too crazy.
Have you ever said like degrading things in bed to her, like during like just type of sex?
There is humiliation as a category. So yeah, I think it's been tried once or twice.
Do you think you could ever say Make America Great Again as you're achieving?
I would have to say it right as I'm achieving, because otherwise I won't be able to finish.
Okay, but now it makes sense to say it, because if you're saying now Trump is the president, it's no longer, America's no longer great.
And
now
we need to make it great again.
You could spin it.
See, and I couldn't double down. It couldn't be one of those nights where it's all about me. It would have to be one of those times where she got hers first, and then I said it as I was finishing myself. Otherwise, or simultaneously, but it would kill the moment.
Do you think if she was in the middle of orgasm and you said Make America Great Again, that it would immediately stop?
Oh, yes.
She would have that kind of control?
Guaranteed.
So, worse T-shirt or hat? The N-word or Trump 2020?
N-word.
Now, you know the old joke, like if you're having sex with your woman and she's on top of you or whatever, you just call her by the wrong name and then she starts, bucking angrily. Is that something you would consider doing just by yelling out Trump or something?
Yeah, wrong. Right.
You want me to try that tonight?
I do want you to try that.
All right.
It's like you're going to have sex tonight, Marcus.
I'll record it. I'll bring the audio next week.
All right. We got back on track there. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More, hopefully, hilarity and non-election stuff. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back. What's up, everybody? We need your help. We need your support.
We haven't begged for support in a while.
And we're not too proud to beg. We're really good at begging. All we really want you to do is just, if you listen on iTunes, give us 5 stars, write us a review. Same deal with Stitcher. Same deal, Podbean, podcast app. Just share the show. Download it, tell people about it, word of mouth. That's all we're asking.
No, it's not all we're asking. Also, come to all the shows that we have, the murder mysteries, the stand-up. Donate money on our website.
Yes.
If you have to see me on the street, be cordial. Offer to buy me a drink.
So all we're asking is to go on every single platform that the show's available on. Give us 5 stars. Write us a review. Tell every friend you know to listen to the show. Give us lots of money at robmayer@gmail.com on PayPal. Come to every single murder mystery show. Come to every single comedy show. See the pie plate closer. Give a standing ovation. And then tell your friends to do exactly the same thing.
That's all we need.
That's it.
The Rob and Joe Show.
We got an email. It was Robbie forwarded it to us. Let me see. Look. It's from this guy named Kurt. Hello, I'm a new listener and I love your show. Thanks, bud. Would it be possible on an upcoming show to give the history and relationship to the show of Chris Restivo? These are the things I have picked up on the show. 1, he is not funny. 2, his impressions suck. 3, he thinks Joe is a douchebag. 4, well, yeah. He spends his Social Security money on strippers. 5, he lives with his parents. Yeah, correct, on all counts.
Yeah.
Is Chris mentally challenged? Thanks, Kurt.
I don't think Good Chris questions. Is mentally challenged. I don't think that. But here's the origin of the Chris Restivo story. When I used to run the, it used to be called Next Up. It was the open mic competition at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. I would have to solicit a bunch of local comics to fill these each Wednesday night. And Chris Restivo was one of those comics. And, you know, I didn't know. I would give out my personal cell phone number. I didn't know that it wasn't okay. And Chris would constantly call me and ask for advice and things like that.
And you had never met him.
I never met him. So one time he called me and he said, hey, I wanted to know if you could help get me work. I'd already seen Chris perform, and basically I said, no, you know, I have a reputation. I can't recommend that you perform and I be the one to recommend that, because then my reputation is, you know, at stake, right? I can't make myself look bad. And, you know, fast forward, we've had Chris on the show doing impressions. By the way, I don't think Chris does horrible impressions. Do you?
No, I don't. And back to having him on the show, I wouldn't call him an open micer because that would imply that he probably does more than one open mic. He would go to Coco Lane, where Eric Woodworth, who we just had on the show 2 weeks ago, runs the open mic, and I would frequent that every Wednesday. And Chris would go up, and he would do his impressions and say the F word. I don't mean fuck. F-A-G. You understand. And Chris would just be like, hey, can I come on your podcast? And I'm like, I don't even know you. Like, no. And so we had him on our show, the Rob and Joe Show, with the idea that we were going to try to just level with him and say, dude, you got to quit comedy. It's not working out. But we found him to be so funny on the Rob and Joe Show, and his impressions were so ridiculous that we said, if you do that, Chris, if you do Robert De Niro talking to a tennis ball while on a motorcycle voting for Barack Obama, that's going to be funny. Now, he would never do that, but that's how it all started.
Yeah, and I do have to kind of give some credence to going back to the first segment, to the left, in that Chris Restivo is a huge Trump supporter. So it does make me think maybe the left does have a point. That's all from what I was being critical of before, right?
Chris is very sexist, homophobic. You can make the case, some might say, don't get mad, Chris, borderline racist. And those are all bad things, and some people have suggested that why would we highlight someone who thinks all that? Well, if you are against those things, you would want this person to be the spokesperson for those things.
Of course.
Because it makes those things look like the most idiotic right. things to me. So that actually that's good. It makes people on the other side feel better about themselves, and hopefully it makes people on that side think twice. Maybe I shouldn't be thinking this because this is who also agrees with me.
Star Wars isn't as good a movie if Darth Vader isn't in it. So let's see.
Exactly. But speaking of Chris Restivo, he is a huge Minnesota Vikings fan. Nobody really knows why. Never been to Minnesota. But after the Redskins, of course, that's our team. They played the Vikings this past week. And they played a couple years ago. And I remember there being a lot of trash talk, friendly on Facebook. And, you know, the Vikings won. And I remember congratulating Chris. But today, or on Sunday, you know, we go to his Facebook as the game's starting. There's no mentions. He was really laying low. And I guess the Vikings had lost three in a row, so maybe that took the steam out of them. But the Redskins ended up winning. And I wait to the very next day, and I Facebook message him. I say, tough loss today. I guess it was later that night. Hang in there, bud. He immediately reads it. You can tell when someone reads it. Then you see the thing that he's typing. And he types back, I tell you what I think about it. I have never, ever seen a performance so bad. That quarterback can't throw worth a shit. Every goddamn play a three-yard pass. He's a motherfucking clown. He sucked on the Rams. He sucked on the Eagles. He sucks on the Vikings. And that piece of shit kicker fucks us on every single game. He kicks blindfolded. I'd rather have Stevie Wonder kick field goals than that Lord of the Rings motherfucking two-foot troll-looking asshole. The goddamn running back couldn't hit the holes. They all run so goddamn slow. A pickle sliding down a goddamn window is faster than that. Why would a pickle, whatever.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah.
A pickle would just fall quickly. Right. You go ahead.
And our GM, that asshole, goes, oh, I think it's just a slumpy end. Someone should slump the fucker out of the league. Go back to working, pushing pencils at a goddamn desk job. I don't think the kicker ever had a desk job. That motherfucker fucks us on every goddamn game. Last minute of the game, the prick throws a pick, and he's on the bench with a smile. My fucking ass. And those cocksuckers, those F-word announcers, are yapping about the Packers. They might as well drop to their goddamn knees and blow the whole team. God damn it. I respond, good points.
Now, Rob read that to me last night, and you know, I wanted in on that. So I let me tell you what I said to Chris. Let me get on to the old Facebook here. Sorry for the delay, guys.
Chris can be a little Trumpy on his social media.
No doubt.
He'll try to interject, you know, horrible political things into almost any post. I usually end up deleting them because it just takes the post in some other direction no one wants to go in. But go ahead, Joe.
I just said, hey, bro, tough loss. It was a great game. I wanted in. I wanted in on it, right?
Yeah.
And I saw the bubbles. It's like he read it. I saw the bubbles. I'm like, yes, he never, I guess he decided against it. He's growing up.
He's wising up. So, you know what? Chris, he does have a temper. He does tend to say things without a filter. But we, you know, we pull for Chris. We want the best for him. But we also like to make fun of him because we're bad people. Let's talk about the murder mystery. We have a bunch coming up here, but we had our last Sing for Your Life. Well, we'll do more, but that's currently on the calendar at Magoobie's Joke House. And it wasn't our largest crowd. It was 100. It was a good solid crowd. But you can make the case this was our best audience we've ever had in terms of participation, getting it, laughing, and just being awesome.
It was, not to just hand job ourselves, but it was also a really good show.
Yes.
You know, it was just a home run of a show. And also, I will say this. You can take this for whatever it's worth. If you are a group of black women, I want you at our show.
Absolutely.
You know how to enjoy a murder mystery. I'm not sure if that's a cultural thing. I'm not sure what that is. But if you are a group of black women, please, you know, contact me, joe@robinjoeshow.com. I have no idea if that's my email address.
Whatever. joe@dielaughingproductions.com.
There you go, joe@dielaughingproductions.com. And let's see if we can't get you a group rate and get you in there. Because, I mean, I thought the tables were going to get flipped over.
Yeah, there was jumping up and down, waving the arms, stomping the feet, laughing, high-fiving, singing along, dancing, running on stage. I mean, everything that we loved. There was about two tables that were, it was perfection. God bless those people.
And friend of the show, Scott Bergson, was there to witness it all. So yes. That was so we can, you know what? We can get an unbiased third party opinion of what happened that night.
Yeah, he can tell Mac Bergson what he's missing. It was an amazing show. We will be doing them again. That particular show, just don't exactly have, well, there's dates that are brewing what's the term? In the offing. In the offing. There you go. We do have a bunch. November 30th, Helium and Philadelphia doing the murder, the Christmas theme one. December 10th, Colonial Beach, Virginia. December 3rd, Winchester, back at Brightbox. And December 21st, back at the DC Improv. December 23rd, back at Magoobie's Joke House. And then December 30th, back at the Albany Funny Bone. doing the last laugh. Now, is this, how bad of a person does this make me, Joe? I cross Gates Mall. That's the mall in Albany, New York, where the Funny Bone is located. 3-4 days ago, I see on Facebook trending cross Gates Mall shooting. My first thought was shit.
Oh no!
How does this affect the murder mystery? Is there a, if there's a mass shooting, can we make fun of murder in 5 weeks, 6 weeks? Turns out it's just somebody shot a gun. I don't think anybody killed.
Thank God.
Yeah,
oh,
but so it's fine. But they closed the they didn't have shows that night.
No, if people were murdered there, yeah, we would not be able to do the murder mystery there.
For how long? I mean,
5 weeks away. We'd be on the borderline.
Yeah,
as Madonna would say.
But we're in the clear. Luckily, no one died, and we can still do the murder mystery. And that's really what's most important. I am going to Key West, Florida, tomorrow. I will leave. I leave Wednesday. I do a show Thursday night. I come back Friday.
So they're flying you down there. You're going to do one show, and they're flying you back.
Yep.
There's no comics in Key West that they can save the $600 in airfare.
You know what the airfare costs?
Huh.
$94.
Really?
Yeah. Now that I got to fly to Fort Lauderdale and then rent a car, which is costing another $70, and then drive down there, which is 4 hours, and drive back, obviously. But it's really cheap.
Hmm. What's your net on this trip?
Oh, I'm not I'm hardly making any money, but I'm in Key West, and that's the whole idea.
All
so,
right.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm Marcus. You had said in the pre-show, you know, has anything happened since Heart of the City? Yes, I'm now famous. Fuck all of you. No,
in Key West. He can't walk down the street in Key West.
You know what? The guy who offered me the Key West gig didn't even know about Heart of the City. So nothing has happened yet. I have, there's a little bit of movement on my TV show idea, but nothing concrete. So
the Leftovers.
The Leftovers. So nothing has launched me to stardom yet, but I will keep you guys posted. I did have an interesting conversation with one Tony Perkins not that long ago, but I'll talk about that later. It might upset Joe. I think that's it. How long have we been on? I don't even know what time we started.
Over an hour. Yeah, oh, a little good. Bit over an hour. So this is good. Yeah, we got shows coming up. Both of us are performing the day before Thanksgiving. You at the Ram's Head in Annapolis.
Yeah, I'm going to go on 90 Rock to promote that. So the Ram's Head in Annapolis. It's Thanksgiving Eve, November 23rd. Myself, Tommy Sabazo, Josh Coderna, and the hilarious headliner. We have Jason Weems.
And I will be at the Baltimore Comedy Factory doing the same show that we've done the last 3 years, and 98 Rock personalities, Wendy Townsend emceeing, myself featuring, and Justin Schlegel headlining.
Yeah, one last thing on Donnie. Donnie did a gig in Westminster with Justin, and Justin said to me the other day that Donnie was hilarious. He crushed it. And he doesn't want him opening for him again because he was too good. So he went back to you, Joe. and another thing, one more link thing from the murder mystery. Megan, a friend of the show, says, so all Joe does is just run around and doesn't do anything. Which is a funny way of saying your role in the show. You do much more than that, but it's funny enough to just act like that's all you do. That's the show, guys. We'll see you next week, where we have another 20 straight minutes of breaking down politics. Fuck no, never again. Rob and Joe Show, later.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.